here.
And that lets you save them.
Who cares?
True form life.
Green look on.
Welcome to Exploring Mind and Body with Drew Tatia. Drew is an expert in nutrition, fitness, lifestyle, and more. And he wants to help you live a healthier, longer, and more active life. Now here's your host, Drew Tatia.
All right, welcome to another edition of Exploring Mind and Body. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our True Form Life community. Through your downloads, shares, reviews, everything that you do to contribute to the show, we certainly wouldn't be here without you. Now, today, I couldn't be more excited to bring Dan Millman back on the air with you to talk about his brand new book, The Hidden School. Now, a little bit of history. We've had Dan on the show a number of times. I think this might be his fourth time. We actually had a chance to sit down and have tea with Dan, a super guy. And again, I'm so excited. I kind of feel like this is my opportunity to give back to him a bit and have him on the show and share his news and his excitement around new projects and new books. I met Dan years ago through letter, and I read one of his books, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And if you haven't picked up that book, you have to. It's been read millions and millions of times. It's in all kinds of different languages across different countries, and it's still my all-time favorite book, so I highly encourage you to pick it up. And again, I'm so grateful to have Dan with us on the show and to share this story with him. I'm a bit sad. This is the last chapter. This is the third book that he's done in the Peaceful Warrior series, the Way of the Peaceful Warrior series. So I'm super excited to have Dan back, to have you tune in, and to hear more about this new book that he has coming out. So Dan and I always have great conversations. You can expect nothing but the best type of interviews, the most professional. Dan's always well-spoken and has so much knowledge to share with us. So I know you're going to appreciate this one and get tons of value out of it. So sit back and enjoy. We got all that coming up on...
This is Exploring Mind and Body. Naturally improve your lifestyle one show at a time with your host, Drew Tatia.
All right, welcome to another edition of Exploring Mind and Body. You heard all about Dan Millman in the introduction, so without further ado, welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks, Drew. The last time we spoke, you and your lovely wife and I were having tea in Manhattan.
Yeah, we certainly were. That was fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, Dan, so you've been on the show a number of times now, and it's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to this interview as well. Today we're talking about your new book, The Hidden School. I'm so excited because this is kind of the last chapter of The Peaceful Warrior. Is that correct?
Yes, and that has been quite the challenge, because the ideal way to read The Hidden School would be to read Way of the Peaceful Warrior to page, well, I won't give a page number because it's different for Kindle or digital, but to read to a point, for those who know my first book, where Socrates said it's time to learn from your own life experience and pushes me out of the nest, so to speak, then I just devote two pages in Way of the Peaceful Warrior, maybe one page, just to mention I traveled around the world to various countries, and then I move on to the rest of that initial book. So Sacred Journey of the Peaceful Warrior, my second book, which I wrote 10 years later after the first one, that takes up, that begins within that point in the initial story. And as soon as Sacred Journey ends, well, 27 years after that book, I wrote The Hidden School. So any of my books can be read standalone, and someone can enjoy the story. They won't be lost. It's not like reading Game of Thrones Part 3. But ideally, someone would, you know, if they wanted to really get the whole chronology, they would read Peaceful Warrior to a certain point, then Sacred Journey, then The Hidden School, and finally the last 20 or 30 pages of Way of the Peaceful Warrior, because both those books take place within the first story. So Hidden School is part of the initial Peaceful Warrior saga, but again, someone who didn't know my work could still pick it up and enjoy it.
Why did you decide to write The Hidden School? Did you feel like there was still part of the story that wasn't told yet?
Yes, and that's why I wrote it the way I did. It just had to be told to feel complete. And now I'm done. I've contributed my to the literature, the Peaceful Warrior Saga, and there won't be a fourth or fifth or sixth. I'm done. And I only have one more book in me in the future, which will be a memoir about the story behind the story and my own search for happiness and so on. That's coming in a few years. But yeah, I wrote it the way I needed to write it, and hopefully it seems like many readers are really resonating with that adventure.
Did you say that any of these books were going to be your last one before you wrote another one?
No, never. No, it's been a mysterious process. People wonder what inspires authors to write a particular book at a particular time. But, as I often say, my life is more like improvisational comedy than strategic planning. My books are like airplanes lined up on the runway, and I never know who's going to be the next one to go. But no, I'm quite clear. This is the last one. But because I feel complete with it. It really rounds out the story. It's the final piece of a jigsaw puzzle. You don't need to put any more pieces in.
Dan, before we get into any more details about The Hidden School, just give our viewers a brief overview of your journey up until, I suppose, this last chapter of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Sure, and I'll keep it brief for those who know my work, but for those who don't, I was moved to share some unusual experiences I'd had over time and insights I'd had that I felt were somewhat fresh. And it took 7 years to finally put together Way of the Peaceful Warrior in 1980. And it's still, reaching out across the generations more than 30 years later. And I didn't write another book for 10 years. And finally, new influences and insights and experiences led me to write the second book in that series, Sacred Journey of the Peaceful Warrior. It takes place in a Hawaiian rainforest. And then 27 years after that, with my readers saying, Dan, when are you going to write the final story? What happens next? Finally, I was ready to write The Hidden School. It is an adventure, but like my other narrative works, it conveys some deep, and I think hopefully eventually it'll sink into the culture, some cutting edge ideas and information we can get into within the context of that story. And I deliver it through the device of a book within the book.
What kind of challenges did you run into with this particular book and kind of closing the final chapter here?
Oh, all kinds. I had written material decades ago about a search for a book in the desert, and nothing ever came of it. I just put it aside. It wasn't long enough for a book on its own. And I'd also written a story about a master of Taishan Forest in China. Unrelated story. Somehow those needed expressions, so I put it all together and then completed everything. And through some hard work and help of my writer daughter, my author daughter, Sierra, and my wife, Joy, who's always my first editor, and they really give me candid impressions through. So it was a family effort in a way, but finally the book took shape and The Hidden School came out of it. And my early readers were quite delighted with it, but it's quite interesting. I was thinking of posting on Facebook or on Twitter, on Facebook, links to two reviews. One is a typical 5-star. I have quite a few of those, very enthusiastic and articulate, and one-star review. And people can see the vast differences of opinion about a particular book so they can form their own impressions.
And so I'm kind of interested to know what that looks like when Sierra or Joy reads over your book. Do they read chapter by chapter when it's finished, or do you finish the entire book first and then you pass it on to them?
Well, my wife, Joy, always my guardian angel and most harsh critic in terms of editorial, she reads the rough drafts. She's willing to go through and read those. And so developmentally, I really reshape it. Who was it? Hemingway said the first draft of anything is crap. He didn't use the word crap, though. It was more Hemingway-ish. But and that's true. It simply is. I don't know how many writers ever write a first draft that's clean and looking good. But it shows the shape of it. And from there, I refine and rewrite and develop. And then when it was ready, my daughter, Sierra, who we wrote a writing book together in the past, called the Creative Compass, and she's quite astute. And she went over it developmentally with some ideas, and then did copy or line editing, detail editing. So then I went back to work again. So it's my book, clearly. I mean, anybody who writes a proper book has help of some kind of editorial overview. And then early readers saw the book, and they gave me their feedback. So it's a constant process of development and refinement before it's ready to show to an agent, editor, publisher, that sort of thing.
So when your books are standalone, so you mentioned earlier you can read the books that aren't exactly in sequence. I'm curious to know, what type of audience are you looking for or trying to reach with this particular book, The Hidden School?
Realistically, I think it will probably be embraced most by those who have read Way of the Peaceful Warrior. Whether or not they've read the second isn't critical. It fills everything in, but it's not critical. That will probably be revelatory for them, and they'll understand how I evolved as a human being from the adolescent young college athlete to someone who was actually making a transition to become a writer and share that information from a student to a teacher. Everybody is something before there's something else. And some fans might have preferred me just to do a book just like Way of the Peaceful Warrior, have Socrates show up, you know, my old mentor, for those not familiar with the story, the old gas station attendant, and reappear and start, you know, kind of kicking my butt again and reminding me of the Peaceful Warrior's way. But I did that in the original book. So I had to do something different to show that evolution. And that's what I did. So I feel good about what I wrote, and I think most of my readers will as well. You know, Jack London, most people have heard of him, the writer, famous author, said it takes hard writing to make easy reading. And I did work hard on this book, as I have every one of my books.
How is this one different, Dan? You mentioned that Socrates, for example, he's there and he's kind of pushing you to get to the next level and kind of form your life, I suppose you could say. How is this one different compared to the first one?
The first one uses the literary device based on autobiographical incidents of having a teacher lead me and sometimes kick me up the path. And as I learn, the reader learns. It's a very nice way to deliver information. It's similar in a way to the mentor-student relationship that King Arthur had, young Arthur with Merlin, or the Karate Kid had with Mr. Miyagi. Many people remember that film. And Carlos Castaneda had with his brujo, his teacher, Don Juan, way back in the 60s and 70s. So it had that device. And since I did meet a real old guy in a service station about 3 in the morning who wouldn't tell me his real name, but he reminded me of the old Greek sage, so I called him Socrates. So it's based on that character. And it was a good way to deliver information for readers. But I couldn't do exactly the same thing, as I mentioned, for this book. It has an organic process, and it just had to be written the way it was, though he does make an appearance for sure. I mean, it's the subtitle of the book is Return of the Peaceful Warrior, which could mean Socrates or it could mean me. But as you know, we've spoken about this, I consider every single listener and every human I've met as a peaceful warrior in training. It's not an exclusive club or an initiation. All of us are seeking to live with a peaceful heart. And we also, there are times we need a warrior's spirit just to face the challenges of everyday life. So that characterizes my work, my theme, and the term peaceful warrior. And it's really about all of us. So that is going to be, I put it out there, you know, like every book. I sow seeds and we'll see who responds and how they respond.
I feel like at some level we all want some type of mentor or someone to maybe it's spiritual, some spiritual being to kind of direct us in the way we want to go or the way we should go maybe. Do you feel like that was why the initial book, I suppose, Way of the Peaceful Warrior, was so powerful or reached so many people?
Well, I still don't know, because other books have been written with students and teachers and haven't really, you know, gone anywhere. It's not just a device that guarantees the book will be recognized. There was a combination of factors, none of them which were my brilliance. Sometimes it's a combination of timing and the content. You know, any book is made up of style and content, what you say and how you say it. And then it's timing, and some books just touch a chord in people. Peaceful Warrior, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, obviously did. It's still reaching out there 37 years later. You know, you can't make word of mouth happen. People have to individually be excited about a book. And I believe they will feel that way about The Hidden School, but only time will tell. I'm being quite candid, and we will see. The student-mentor relationship is part of it, but see, people have written to me. You know, we all remember back in school a favorite teacher, maybe only one or two through high school or college, that just inspired us. And in life, we sometimes find teachers. But those familiar with that old kind of homily, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, many misunderstand it. They think when they're somehow deserving enough, they'll find a teacher like Socrates. But my view is, when the student is truly ready, which means they're starting to pay attention, they have the free attention to notice, then the teacher appears everywhere. Friends, adversaries, strangers, loved ones. They start paying attention, and they are more open to learning the lessons of everyday life.
Yeah, that's very cool. Do you feel like we get these hidden messages, or maybe that's what you're trying to say, the teacher is everywhere with all these messages that we get in day-to-day life of maybe pointing us into the direction we want to go?
Every single day there's something, these little friction points when something doesn't go well, what is there to be learned for next time? And believe me, I'm in this process too, every day with my family, my daughters, relationships, communication. You know, the problems people have at work isn't usually about the work. That's pretty straightforward generally. It's usually about the relationships, the self-protection, the lack of communication, competitiveness rather than collaboration. All these issues come up. That's the challenge at work. And in every part of life, with our bodies, feedback, what foods work for us. Life is an experiment. We have to find out what works best for us. I've repeated that before, you know, when speaking with you and your audiences. Really, our teachers are everywhere. When people say, oh, I wish I had a teacher like Socrates, I go, you do. That's why I wrote the books, so he could become your teacher as well.
That's beautiful. I love that. I think that many of us are looking for that one person that's going to change our lives. But if we just opened our eyes and we're open to, I suppose, acceptance and paying attention to those little signs, then we could have Socrates every single day of our lives.
Sure. And a lot of people like to read my books over again. They see a different book each time they read it because they've changed. And that's a common thing for, you know, there's the first quotation I have, like on before the book, the story even starts in The Hidden School, is that no two readers ever read the same book.
Yeah, I've read Peaceful Warrior many times, and every time I pick it up, you notice something that you haven't noticed before. I'm super excited to hear more about Socrates, and I imagine I'm not the only one. Is there any little bit of a teaser you'd like to share with us for those that are excited to hear more about, you know, this magical figure that's come back?
I'm not really giving anything away. By page 7, I discover a letter from Socrates, and it begins, "Dan, there's no cure for youth except time and perspective. When we first met, my words flew past you like leaves in the wind. You were willing to listen, but not yet ready to hear. I sensed that you'd face frustration made more difficult by the belief that you were wiser than your peers. Since Chia gave you this letter, you're probably looking to the east for answers. But if you go east as a seeker, begging alms of insight, you'll receive only a pittance. Go only when you can bring value to the table of wisdom. I'm not just waxing poetic here. First, you need to find a book I lost in the desert decades ago." So that's how it begins. And the letter goes on for quite a while, telling some adventures that Socrates had encountered as a younger man. So that gives a flavor for the letter I discover, which really turns my life around at the time, because I have other plans before he starts changing them.
So that letter was from Socrates?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's, awesome.
Yeah, the letter was actually from Socrates, yeah.
Okay, very cool. So I imagine there's a bunch of excitement around him coming back and then you starting it off. Is that kind of a goal that you set out? Like, let's bring Socrates back and get people excited about him again?
Nope. That implies some strategy, some overall grand plan I had that I like outlined and had an architectural structure for the entire book. Nope, it just kind of appears when I need it.
Is that how you write? Do you just write what comes to you and let it flow like that?
Pretty much. And again, what I'd recommend ideally for any writers out there, well, first of all, read The Creative Compass. It really is a helpful, useful book. About the entire creative process from dreaming all the way to sharing when you're complete with your work. Dreaming, drafting, developing, refining, and sharing. But the other thing for writers is it really is useful to, if you can create some kind of outline beginning to end with a major turning points and so on in a book, then you can fill in the rest creatively. But it just hasn't quite worked for me. So, you know, that's why the subtitle of the writing book with my daughter is Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. Because you have to write your way. You can't write my way or my daughter's way or anybody else's way. And each writer has his or her own approach.
Yeah, we actually, for our listeners, I had two separate interviews with Dan and Sierra on the Creative Compass. So you can go back on exploringmindandbody.com and you can listen to those full interviews there. Dan, I wanted to ask you about Peaceful Warrior Way. Again, in a past show, we did specialize in this, but for our listeners that may have not have heard that show, can you tell us what this way of life is and maybe how it can improve our lives?
Yeah, absolutely. It is an approach to life. Some people describe it as my philosophy, the Peaceful Warrior's Way, but it is an approach to living. All we can do is we get up in the morning and we do what we do after we get up. I exercise first thing, eventually eat breakfast and so on and so forth. But, when you think about it, people have all these labels for themselves and different kinds of careers and work. But what do? During the day? We get up, we move, we speak, we write, we check our computer or phone, we go to work or take care of the kids. There are certain physical, your show, Exploring Mind and Body. We do various mental and physical tasks throughout the day, and then we sleep. But how do we handle all that? What is our perspective? Why are we doing it? My work goes to the foundation of all that. What are we here for? What are we here to do? What is our real purpose? To bring more clarity so we begin to learn more from the school of life. So the way this approach differs and doesn't, because many people think, oh, Dan and all these self-help writers, these spiritual New Age writers, they pretty much say the same thing, live in the present moment, and you can reach your goals and unleash your power and all that stuff. So let me just say, one of the foundation elements of this approach that I teach, first of all, is that there is no best book, including mine, there's no best seminar or teacher or religion, or philosophy, or diet, or exercise system, or martial art, or yoga. There's only the best for each of us at a given time of our life. We need to experiment, pay attention, find out what works for us. The second thing is this approach is very realistic. It contains no magical or wishful thinking. It's those who would like to get more in touch with reality. I find that quite useful. We stop stumbling around quite so much. What that means is it's based on action. Rather than fixing our insides so we can have just the right thoughts or the right emotions that'll allow us to finally do what we need to do. And so many technologies, techniques, methods promise if we just have the right emotions of confidence and courage and gratitude and love and peace, if we just have the right thoughts, a quiet mind, positive thoughts, and get rid of negative ones and all that, there's so much teaching around there. And I'm saying, yeah, that's maybe nice, you know, because beliefs and thoughts and so on and intentions create tendencies to behave a certain way. But they don't make us behave a certain way. A real form of liberation, Todd, is to realize we can behave as a peaceful warrior. We can behave even as an enlightened person, no matter what we're feeling or thinking, positive or negative. That's why it takes a warrior spirit. It is not easy, but it's a practice. And that's why I recommend focusing on behavior or action over fixing our insides before we live well. So I don't ask people to feel grateful or happy or peaceful or kind or loving. I ask people to behave that way as a discipline, as an enlightened discipline, to begin gradually to adapting our body and mind to a more enlightened disposition, rather than paying attention to or depending on having the right feeling or thought beforehand. And that makes it distinctly different from most other approaches to living. So that characterizes the foundation. Now, if I could summarize it all, well, I would, but you know, this is my 17th book, and I never wrote a book just to have another book out there. There are certain core teaching books, including Way of the Peaceful Warrior, Sacred Journey, and The Hidden School. Those are my narrative, my stories, for those who like stories and adventures. But I also have a book called No Ordinary Moments, A Peaceful Warrior's Guide to Everyday Life. I also have a book called The Life You Were Born to Live, which deals with our life path and a rather unusual and extremely accurate method for clarifying that. I have a foundation book called The Four Purposes of Life, and so on. We've talked about some of these. So there's no way to summarize it in a very simple way. I've had to write these books, and now, except for the coming memoir, I'm done. I've done my duty. I'm 71 years old. I'm old enough to have my books move from the new age to the middle age section.
Dan, is there any, just before we wrap things up here, is there any sadness around this final chapter? Or is it, or maybe no, is there any emotion at all that this is the last kind of chapter you're closing it up? Or maybe some contentment that it is finished?
Just a big sigh of relief and contentment. I've done my duty. I wrote what I needed to write. And I'm content to wander down, hop the subway to Washington Square Park in Manhattan or somewhere and wander around and watch the birds. But I still have one more book in me that needs to be written. And people go, how do you know? Maybe there'll be another one. You know, it's possible, but never say never. But I think that's my clear path. I'll continue to teach. I go around the world. I'm going to Prague next month. Costa Rica in August. I do my 7-day retreat once every 18 months in Costa Rica. This is my 9th time back, so obviously I love the place and I love the retreat. It's my favorite venue, so I'll have a good group of very interesting people joining me down in Costa Rica in August.
Tell us more about what you're doing, Dan, right before we let you go here. Where can we find your book, and what else do you have going on that we could reach out to you with?
Well, fortunately, my books are found everywhere. They sell books from bookstores like Barnes & Noble, of course, online and Amazon and barnesandnoble.com, in digital form. I narrated the audiobook, which was really quite fun and challenging. It's my 5th audiobook, so I've gotten some practice. I think people will enjoy the narration since it is my first-person presentation. So. And anybody can go. I mean, really, if they're curious about my work and want to also get a free glimpse at their life path, they can go to peacefulwarrior.com. And it has online courses, a summary of my various books, and other features they might enjoy, including that life purpose calculator.
That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Exploring Mind and Body. As always, thank you so much for being here. Hope you enjoyed that interview. And I certainly hope that's not my last interview with Dan Millman. Absolutely love him coming on and sharing his insights with us. More details, that's what we have going on at trueformlife.com. That's it. That's all I got. I'm out of here.
As always, I'm your host, Drew Taddea, in health and fitness for a better world.
You've been listening to Exploring Mind and Body with True Form Life's Drew Taddea, fitness expert. To find out more about the show, Drew Taddea, or to listen to past shows, visit exploringmindandbody.com.